One of the strongest El Niños in recorded history could be on its way. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. While a strong El Niño event could bring much-needed rain to California, it could also disrupt weather patterns across the globe and boost temperatures. El Niño is a climate phenomenon that occurs every 2 to 7 years in the tropical Pacific and sets off a chain of weather patterns. State climatologist Dennis Toddy has been keeping an eye on El Niño, and he joins the program. And Dennis, great to talk with you today.
Great to talk with you, too.
Well, I'd like to talk about El Niño in just a bit, but first, rain has been falling across the state this morning. We had some heavy rain in Vermilion, streets flooding on my way to work. Past few days have seemed a little bit more like fall. Dennis, how unseasonable is this current system?
This system very much looks like a typical fall system rather than a summertime one, because we're getting wide. There's a fairly strong area of low pressure developing out of Nebraska that's adding to the gusty winds over the eastern part of the state. More widespread uniform rainfall rather than individual convective rainfall across a good chunk of the state. And then what we call a dry slot, which is often a problem with forecasting precipitation. It's a dry area for where precipitation gets shut off on the back side of a system that's occurring over southeastern part of South Dakota right now. All the hallmarks of what look like much more like a fall system than a summertime system. So, yeah, it is rather unseasonable. We are getting close to that transition period here, but still a little bit early for that. From an overall standpoint, across the state we've seen 1 to 1.5, even over 2 inches of precipitation in the far western part of the state over the last 24 hours. This precipitation has stopped in the southeast, and across the southern parts of the state it's ongoing across most of the area north of I-90. Most of the heavier stuff has stopped now, but we are going to see some consistent rainfall going on throughout the rest of the day into this evening. Some places this has been welcome because we do have some dry spots that have been ongoing around the state. The downside is we've gotten wet in some areas now. In fact, I was looking at some data this morning. Brookings and Clear Lake in Dual County are in the top 10 wettest August already, just over halfway through the month, and we're in the top 10 at this point with some additional time to go. So that's going to be some problems we have to watch going into the fall, especially from a harvest season standpoint.
Now, you mentioned the transitional period. When is that normally?
Well, we typically think of climatological seasons as, summer is June, July, August. We always, the astronomical season is fall starts on September 21st. If you look from a climate standpoint, by the time we reach about that first of September, we start transitioning into more fall-like temperatures. We can still get warm, but we can still get summertime convection into the fall, but we start getting more chances for these fall-like systems as we get into the first part of September.
So summer isn't over just yet.
Summer is not over just yet, and we're actually going to see a return to that next week. We're going to have cool temperatures through a better part of this week, a little bit of warm-up this weekend, but then by mid to latter part next week, we'll have a return to some very warm temperatures as more people start to go back to school, college students start heading back, getting some warmer temperatures. Probably not quite as humid as we've had some other times, but still kind of sticky for that first week of classes.
Now, looking at the rain that we've had lately, Dennis, you mentioned areas that really don't need any more rain. Are there some parts of the state that could use a little bit of rain yet?
There were a couple spots. There was an area just south and west of Sioux Falls where we actually had some corn that was showing some stress, a little bit of browning in those areas. Just had a report this morning from north of the Pier area where it's been a little bit dry. And currently in the far southwestern part of the state, Custer, Fall River County, Oglala, Lakota County have been somewhat dry over the last 30 days. That's typically a dry time of year anyway, so there's not a big impact, but it is an area that we keep a watch on, especially as we start getting into, the latter part of the summer. It can be a fire issue. But for the most part, we've been relatively wet now over the last 30 days.
Now, looking ahead to harvest, I've been reading some reports suggesting that South Dakota could see some bumper harvests this year. Are we still on track there, or has the rain kind of changed the way we're looking at the harvest season?
yeah, you're right that a lot of the comments are coming out are despite the dry early season. In fact, dry early season is not a bad thing for most crops, because when you put them in the ground, they, as long as there is moisture to get them developing, they start to develop better root systems. Soils warm up a little bit faster. So that was probably not a bad thing for them to get going. Most of corn and soybeans are at least near average to maybe a little ahead of average, and there's been sufficient moisture for most of the state throughout the year. The crops are in pretty good shape. From a developmental standpoint, looks like most of them should be able to make it to maturity before we'd have any chance of a freeze. You know, if something was planted late, or if we would have a really early freeze in a few places, we could have a few issues, but that's really not going to be much of a problem. More the issue we're going to watch out for now is these areas that have gotten too wet, because we're getting late enough in the season, it's going to be harder to dry those soils out, so we could have some excessively wet soils for people trying to get in and harvest. And if we were to stay somewhat cool into September or October with additional rainfall, we could have some dry down issues with some of those bumper harvests. And the problem with that becomes, people like to leave it in the field and dry down as much as possible, because if they have to dry it, there are additional costs incurred there from a propane standpoint and running their dryers. And prices at this point they're not making a lot of money off each bushel this year, so each bushel that you have to dry cuts into their profit margin.
Looking back over the summer so far, June, July, half of August, as far as the weather goes, this has been a fairly, at least until we saw this almost fallish rain system, has this been a fairly normal summer?
It's when you start looking at the numbers, we end up being, except for some of the places that have gotten wet now, we're a lot of things really close to average, although we've been highly variable because we started off dry. Then first, second week of May, things started getting wet, and we were wet through, the end of June. And then we had about the first week of July, good chunks of the state actually went quite dry throughout the month of July into the 1st of August. And we had little pockets here and there that we had a little problem with, might have lost a little bit of yield in those places, but then, we've gotten wet here again. So overall standpoint, it's really been a pretty good growing season, and that's indicative or pointed out by some of the yields that we're hearing too.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking to South Dakota State climatologist Dennis Toddy. And Dennis, as I mentioned, NOAA saying that the world could be headed for one of the strongest El Niños on record. How certain at this point are scientists on the possible impact of El Niño?
We are very, very certain that El Niño is going to stay with us into the winter. The probabilities are well above 90% that El Niño stays with us into at least December, January, February, maybe January, February, March, that time frame. The strength of it, we can still have a little bit of discussion about how strong it will be. It will likely be a very strong El Niño. Your comment earlier was right on, that this could be one of the strongest ones we've measured. Even led to one NASA scientist coining the Godzilla El Niño last week, which, not a term I would use, but it gives us an opportunity to talk more about what that does for us. And really, the very strong El Niños, what it does for us is it gives us more confidence that the things that we expect with El Niño are more likely to happen. The things we expect with El Niño, the biggest one for us is warmer winters. There's no guarantee that we're going to have a warmer than average winter. There are very few guarantees in climate, but we have quite a high probability that we will be warmer than average for the main part of winter here. From a precipitation standpoint, especially during the winter, there's not a big signal for us. There is larger concern at the headwaters of the Missouri River that there could be a dry area in Montana, Wyoming. That it seems to be showing up with this El Niño, which could lead to a limited snowpack and water for the Missouri River. So that's another thing we're watching. One other issue with us is we've talked about these wet conditions already. It's not a signal with every El Niño, but this one. But there are some hints that we could get wetter in the fall, leading to more of those wet fall conditions, particularly for us. From a national basis, obviously the part that's catching the most attention is what does the El Niño do for California If you remember back to previous El Niños, and a lot of the discussion here has been, okay, can El Niño, the additional precipitation, help California, and how much is it going to help? Previous El Niños have had some negative impacts for California from excessive precipitation, landslides, those sorts of things. They'll take them at this point because it would improve their water situation. It will not fix the drought. They hope to help the drought, but it will not fix it because the deficits they have accumulated there over about a four-year period are equivalent to, I've seen something like a year's worth of precipitation. You need a year's worth of precipitation just to catch up. So that's one of the bigger issues being talked about now.
Now, we've been talking about El Niño the last couple of times you've been on the program. Dennis, remind us again how this phenomenon works.
Right. El Niño, what we're talking about, the name comes from actually the equatorial Pacific, where we have changes in sea surface temperatures along the equator. Actually, the name refers to the Christ Child because this phenomenon is most often seen on the western coast of South America, and it peaks around Christmas time. So that's the reference to El Niño as the Christ Child. We've known about this for several hundred years, but it's only been within the last 20 to 30 years we started putting the larger impacts around globally. So what happens is we have a change of the westerly winds. The easterly winds. The winds along the equator are actually easterly. They shift and become weaker or westerly, so that allows more warm water to move its way towards South America rather than being around Australia and Southeast Asia. And what that does is it then shifts patterns that impact around the world. The most direct impacts are right close in that Pacific area, but it does have downstream impacts reaching the U.S. and parts of the U.S. The southern U.S. tends to get wetter and cooler during El Niño winters, so they're watching that very closely. The coast of South America, west coast of South America, which is a desert, tends to get wet because of this. And Australia, especially in northern Australia, which tends to be wetter, actually becomes drier because of these changes in sea surface temperatures. So there's a lot of direct impacts in that area, but then there's indirect impacts that are the ones that we talk about up for us.
So looking at El Niño across the globe, it can be dry here and wet there, so it doesn't hit everyone the same. The results are different.
Right, and it's an important point to make. It's not El Niño is not a specific storm system. It's just a change in the background conditions that impact what areas are hit by storms and not hit by storms, and who is affected positively and negatively varies from time to time, and the positives and negatives can shift. You know, usually as I mentioned about California, you know, they would view typically El Niño as potentially a bad thing because they can get too wet. Because of their ongoing drought, they'll take the additional precipitation in this case. Australia knows the impacts could likely happen there, so they start preparing for that and being ready for that. So we have some known things, and that's the important point to make, too. With the strength of the El Niño, the more confident we are, some of these things are going to happen, and that's why we can start talking about them, because we know, you know, at least a few months in advance that here's what's likely to happen, so you can start preparing for it and dealing with those issues before you get in the middle of them.
Now, the new outlooks come out on Thursday. Do you expect any changes there?
Honestly, I expect very few changes. The outlooks are issued from NOAA, from the Climate Prediction Center, issued once a month on the third Thursday of the month. The last few months, they have very much been tied to this El Niño. There have not been any changes in the overall thinking on El Niño, just some tweaking as to how strong we think the El Niño is and what does that mean for us. So now there'll be tweaking of lines a little bit, but the overall outlook is probably not going to change much. Especially as we get to winter, warmer than average conditions over us are likely forecast.
All right. Well, Dennis, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us again on Dakota Midday. Always appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Carl. Have a great day.
You too. That's Dennis Toddy, South Dakota State climatologist and SDSU Extension climate specialist.